Okay, well, as Casey said, my name is Hillary, and you'll have to forgive me. I'm usually this person leading worship. I've never spoken to a group this size, so if I stutter or I repeat myself, just give me some grace here. So I told the guys back there, I said, I usually like hiding behind my guitar because, you know, the writer has already written the songs. I don't really have to plan anything. I just execute it. So, but my name is Hillary, and I am originally from Auburn, Alabama, War Eagle, sorry. and so I work at Valleydale Church. So I think Morgan spoke last night, and so she used to be one of my coworkers. But I do women's ministry there, and then I also work with our discipleship team. So I've been there almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in October, and before that I was at Lifeline Children's Services. I know that's a very familiar organization, especially at Brook Hills. But I am just coming to speak to y'all about my story and just kind of what God has kind of put on my heart in the last almost 2 years. And so throughout my talk, and you might have seen on in the little whatever that thing is, that bulletin thing, that I said that nothing is wasted. And so that's going to be our theme for this morning, is that nothing is wasted. And so, but just a little bit about myself, I am adopted. And so I was adopted at 6 weeks old. I was a domestic adoption, or for those that you don't know the adoption lingo, I was just born here in America and adopted here. So I was adopted, and my birth mother was 17 when she had me, so that is one reason why she placed me for adoption. And so I would love to share a little bit more about that, but I really feel like God's wanting me to share another part of my life. But I actually did get to meet my birth mom about 4 years ago, and it was just a really sweet time. And though we are extremely different, and I love her so much, and I think she's a wonderful woman who chose to give me life and to place me in a family that where I heard the gospel and I heard how God has redeemed me. And so I grew up hearing that. And so if you're adopted or you have questions, you're a mom of an adoptive child, I would love to talk to you about that. I don't know all the answers, but I can at least tell you what the Lord has shown me in the last 28 years of my life. And so but today I wanted to talk to you guys about another part of my life. And so about almost two years ago in December, my mom tragically passed away. And so she was in surgery for just a routine surgery. They were fixing something in her leg to get a blockage out of her leg, and she just never came out of surgery. And so it's been 2 years, it'll be 2 years on December 14th. So she passed away almost 10 days before Christmas and 5 days before her birthday. So all of these things hit at one moment. And so I'm really wanting to, this is going to be a little heavy, and I'm going to try to give you some lighter mood in between, but I really want you to know what God has shown me in the midst of that. And so if there is only one thing that you get from today, and I want you to know that nothing is wasted in the hands of God. Nothing is wasted in the hands of God. And so we probably hear that through our lives, and we know that God is sovereign, but I'm just going to share with you, you know, how God has shown me that in the past 2 years. And so I forgot to get my, will I get feedback if I walk over there? Okay. Like I said, I don't do this a lot. So I'm a very like visual person. So I'm trying to hold this up. So this is a rug. You may be like, no, it's not, but it is. So this is the back of a rug. And so you can kind of see the design, but you can kind of not. You can just see all the threads weaving in and behind it. And so that's kind of what I was going to share. It kind of came to me while I was laying in bed one night. And just think of, like, this is our life and, like, reflection of God. There's so many threads going in and every which way, and there's people that come in our lives that put a thread into our lives, and we're like, well, this doesn't make sense. They're kind of all blurry. I can't make sense of it. But that is what God does, I feel like, in our lives. He threads so many things into our lives, whether it's hardship and it's trial, or whether it's really good things that happen in our lives. There's always a picture. You know, we may not be able to make sense of it, or it's kind of, you know, not clear right now, but I really feel like once we get to heaven, we'll get to see the full picture. And we may not get to see the full picture right now while we're here on earth, and we may not understand why things happen. We really may not, and we may struggle with that. And I want you to know that that is okay. That's okay when we don't understand things. But this is a picture of my family. I think I had it in there somewhere. Just I forgot. So that's my brother and my sister-in-law and my niece and nephew and my dad. This was taken 2 years ago, our first family beach trip without my mom. So my nephew's holding a picture of my mama. And so my brother is 12 years older than me. He's a youth pastor in Montgomery. So my sister-in-law is a dental hygienist. My niece is actually about some of you guys' age. She's in ninth grade. And then my nephew is 5 and really rambunctious. He wears me out whenever we're around. And so my dad still works. He's a salesman for a car parts company, so he's been doing that for a while. But that's my family. I just wanted y'all to get a picture of that, and I love them so much. So I want y'all to remember the word redeemed. That's what we're talking about this whole weekend. And Ephesians 1:7 is what we've been talking about. And you know, if you're a believer, we've heard that word redeemed a lot in our lives, or a lot throughout our Christian walk with the Lord. But I'm a words person as well, so when I hear a word, I want to know what it means. So I usually look things up. And so redeemed in the dictionary is to buy back, to recover, to fulfill a pledge or promise, to make up for, to make amends for some fault or shortcoming. And so, but in Ephesians 1:7 that we read earlier, the literal Greek translation for redeemed in that verse is to release from slavery. So to buy back, that's what God is doing for us. He's releasing us from slavery. So normally, I kind of think of like in real life terms, when we're buying something back, or like you're returning, even though that's kind of different, but when you buy something back, there's usually some time in between. You got to make sure you get the right transactions. You got to get all the legal documents, all this stuff. But with Christ, it's immediate. There's no waiting. God does not wait. When we're redeemed, it is immediate. And our immediate result of being redeemed is God's forgiveness and his freedom, and freedom from sin slavery. And the amazing thing about this word, and I was trying to think of how to relate this and weave it into my story, but the Lord kind of reminded me that the amazing thing about the word redeemed or redemption, that is just one slice of who God is. I mean, there are so many things that God is sovereign. He is El Roy. He is the God that sees. There are so many things. And so that's just amazing that he's such a broad spectrum of that. So another thing that I want us to think, and I can't think this is the order, but when the Lord redeems us from something, and that's sin, it is always to something better, which is himself. So when the Lord redeems us from something, which is sin, it's always to something better. It's never anything worse. It's always better. And so our greatest need has already been met in Jesus. And I know you might have heard that, but that just like rings so much truth in my heart, especially in this season, that our greatest need has already been met in Jesus. So if y'all will turn to Psalm 107 for me, and I'll give y'all some time to get there. We're not going to have a lot of time to read. I'm not going to read all of it, but we will focus on a few verses in Psalm 107. And I want to encourage you, as you're turning to Psalm 107, just maybe today or tonight, but before the week starts, just read through that and just kind of remember what we've talked about this weekend about God redeeming us. So Psalm 107, and throughout the psalm, we'll see different like issues that people have had. So in some of them, they are in the wilderness, and then others that they are in darkness, and then others they are sick or they're afflicted because of their sin. And then another is, these guys had are on the sea and there was a storm coming. So there's all these four different issues here, but we, through each section of that, we see the same solution. And I'm going to kind of talk about that, but verses 1-3, I'm going to read those for you. And I have a little bit of a different version. I have the CSB, Christian Standard, I think is what it's called. But and it says, in verse 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." In verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." And so in verses 1-3, it's an introduction for us. This is an introduction, and it kind of reminds us why we rejoice in the Lord, because he has redeemed us. He's redeemed us from the power of the foe. You just sang that in two songs, and I'm sure you've sang that a lot this weekend. But just that the Lord has redeemed us, and we are called to tell our story, to tell others that he has redeemed us. And whether you've walked a really hard life or whether you've been a believer for as long as you can remember, we are still called to tell others about Christ, tell them how he redeemed us. And so in verse 3, it sums up our life in light of knowing Christ. And we learn throughout these three verses that God is good and his faithful love endures forever. And he has redeemed us from the enemy, and we are to give thanks. That sums up our life right there in just those verses. That is what we are called to do. We're called to give thanks to the Lord in every circumstance. And so again, there's these four issues that I mentioned, but there's also four solutions that are actually identical. So throughout Psalm 107, you see this ebb and flow of there's a problem, there's a solution, and there's a response. So there's a problem, solution, and a response. So the problems in the verses are different, but the solution is the same in each one. So, and that solution is confession and gratitude. When we confess to the Lord, hey, I need you, I need your help, and then we thank the Lord. That is our solution, is to confess to him and to repent, but to also thank him. And so throughout the psalm, you'll read that they cried out to the Lord. We see that probably four or five times at each thing, and then they cried out to the Lord, and then they cried out to the Lord. And that is that's our theme of our life, that though we have been redeemed, we still need the Lord. We still need to cry out to him. And so, and I'll just kind of skim through these, but in the psalm, we'll see in verse 1 that he is good. In verse 2, we see that he redeems. Again, in verse 2, we see that his love endures forever. We see in verse 7 that he leads and he guides. In verse 9, we see that he satisfies. Let me give y'all some time to write that. Did y'all get that? And then in verse 7, we also see in verse 14 and 16, he breaks our bondage. In verse 20, we see that he speaks through his word. And again, in verse 20, he heals from the effects of sin or sickness. And again, verse 20, he rescues from the impossible. So we see all these things of how God, who he is. And again, I don't know if, I'm sure Casey or those that talk to you to help remind you that the Bible is not a book about you. The Bible is a book about God. It's always about him. It's always about who he is and who we are not in light of him. And so this is about who God is and how we can thank him. Thank him that he leads us. And I think the slide was up there a minute ago, but the same command is for us to give thanks, that we are to give thanks. This is the same response that we should have in Psalm 107 or when we face issues in our life. But not just thanking him and saying, thank you, God, for, I don't know, fill in the blank, but truly thanking him for how he redeemed you. Maybe you have a cool story of being in sin and God called you out, or maybe you're like me and you've known the Lord for, you know, years, but thanking him that he brought that to you, brought that picture to you that you need him. And that's what they did there. They thanked God for the way he met their exact need. And so I'm just going to read in verse 13, it says, these people before that are in darkness, they're in chains, they're stumbling around in darkness. And they can't find their way out. But then in verse 13, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. So first of all, we see he saved them from exactly what they were struggling with, that he saved them from their distress. But not only that, he brought them out of darkness and gloom, verse 14 says, and broke the chains apart. So they were in bondage, we read before that. So God is answering that exact need. So he broke their chains apart. And it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. And that we hear that same phrase repeated. And when we know something is repeated in God's word, it is noteworthy. So, but again, they thanked him for meeting their exact need. And so, so who in here really likes to wait? Anybody? No, I didn't think so. So maybe some of you have like waited for the Taylor Swift album to just drop. I mean, my friends were going nuts. I don't really listen to her. I'm not hating on Taylor, but a lot of my friends were like, I can't believe she's about to release this album. She just told us on Instagram. And I'm like, that's great, but I don't really care. But maybe you were waiting for this new album to drop or her new song, whatever that catchy thing is. Maybe you're waiting for now that we know that the iPhone 8 is out or the iPhone X now that's $1,000, y'all. I mean, really? I don't know if y'all saw this on Facebook, but I thought it was funny. It was like the whole menu at Cracker Barrel is only $887, and the iPhone X is $999. Choose wisely. I'd probably go with Cracker Barrel. But so maybe we're waiting for this phone to drop, and so we're like, oh, well, now my 7's not good enough. I want this one. Or if you're like me, and maybe you're not, but maybe you're waiting at the table and you're waiting for the waiter to bring your queso. That's like my favorite part of Mexican. You're waiting for the queso to be brought to your table. And so, you know, we wait a lot in life. And so there's waiting rooms. There's, waiting list for college. There's lots of things that we wait for. But, you know, what I realized in our waiting, I'm going to get some water. It's my mouth. I'm talking a lot. So what happens in our waiting? Time seems to become more noticeable. Like this is going by so slow. I'm ready to get to the next thing. And our need becomes more needy if we're waiting for something. And so what we once thought was okay is now like, I don't want that, and it's unbearable, and we can't wait any longer for what's next. And so we usually will fix our attention on what we're waiting for rather than learning in the waiting. And so we see kind of like this, again, in Psalm 107, we see these people, there's a lot going on, there's a lot of distress, there's things, and then they cried out to the Lord. And I don't know, maybe, you know, your youth pastor can kind of talk more on this, but maybe they waited a little bit in between when God saved them. I don't know, because the word doesn't tell us that, at least right here. But maybe they did wait. And so if you've ever been in some kind of moment where you're waiting for God to answer you, it's kind of unbearable sometimes. But we also see a picture of Abraham throughout the Old Testament. And who did he wait for? Do y'all remember? Isaac, that's right. He waited for Isaac. So when he was told, he was 75 years old, when God told him, you're going to be the father of many nations, many generations are going to come through you. And God was telling Abraham of all these promises, but he was 100, and maybe you know this, but I love like learning history, but he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So that's 25 years of waiting. I can't even wait for 25 minutes, you know, like, so just to see that Abraham waited 25 years for God's promise, but he was still faithful to the Lord. He wasn't perfect, not like all of us, we're not perfect, but he was faithful to God. He still continued to serve God. He still continued to ask God, you know, how can I lead your people? There was just a constant thing. So this is one thing I want you to learn is don't waste your waiting. Don't waste your waiting. Whatever you're waiting for. Maybe that's get on the dance team. Maybe it's making show choir. Maybe that's college. Maybe that's, I don't know. There's lots of things we could wait for. But don't waste your waiting. When you're waiting for God to deliver you, don't waste your waiting. Ask God how to bring him glory, even while you're waiting. Just ask him. So this is kind of a mom quote, not anything against moms, but this kind of reminds me, this sounds like something my mom would say. Gratitude trumps attitude. Gratitude trumps attitude. So when we're not like grateful or we have a nasty attitude, you know, my mom used to say, check your tude because it's showing, you know. Has your mama said that to you girls? Yes, yes. So when your attitude is stinky, you're not very thankful. So, but when we're thankful, it trumps our attitude. Our attitude changes. Our perspective changes. And so look for ways you can thank him, and then your attitude changes. And, your perspective changes from an earthly perspective to an eternal perspective. But some of you are probably saying, well, Hillary, you don't know my life. You don't know what's going on. You don't know that people make fun of me every day at school. You don't know what people tell me online. You don't know that my parents may be divorced or walking through a divorce. You don't know that my mom just died. Like, no, I don't. But you may be thinking, how can I give thanks in the middle of this? How can I be grateful? How can I be thankful? And so that's what I'm going to kind of lean into with my story. But one word that it reminded me of how we can be thankful is grace. Grace. That's how we can be thankful. And we read in Ephesians 1:7 that in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's right, grace. So what is grace? And maybe you know this, but grace is being given what you do not deserve. Or in other words, it's unmerited favor or kindness from God. And so the only way that God can give us his grace is because of the work of Jesus. That is the only way we have grace. It's because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And so we don't deserve one ounce of it. And I know we hear that a lot, but we don't deserve anything. It says in Christ alone, or whatever we just sang, that Jesus sought me as a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. That is our life. That is our constant life. We don't deserve any bit of that. And God, Jesus sought us out. And so an example of grace in suffering, and that's what I'm going to kind of start talking about, is just what God has shown me in this season of suffering. And it's hard, but I will preface all of this by saying I wasn't like this happy-go-lucky throughout this whole season. If you could see my journal, if you could have been in my bedroom, if you could have heard conversations, it was ugly. And I had a hard time of what I knew about God and what I was feeling. And so I'm going to kind of tell you what God has shown me in just the past 2 years. It's taken long and it's still taking time. But just this picture of grace and suffering. And so there was one night when I was just tired, and you know, you don't even have to lose anyone to experience this. You could be, like, somebody could be making fun of you. I mean, it just could be anything. I don't want you to think, oh, I haven't lost my mom or I haven't lost anybody, so I can't relate. No, like, it could be anything. So one night I was in my room, and, you know, I was just crying. I was so upset about losing my mom. I was 26. I'm not married. You know, all the things I was thinking of, my mom's going to miss out in my life. And I was just so upset, and that's okay. And I was just a mess, and I couldn't go to sleep because I was so tired, but I was too tired. I couldn't go to sleep. I don't know if any of y'all have had that moment. And you're just lying in bed, and you're like, I'm so sleepy, and I can't go to sleep, but I was just tired, and I texted a dear friend of mine, Mary Beth. She and I met in college, and she is probably, if you can be, I know we all are gifted to pray, but she is like extremely gifted in prayer, and that is her spiritual gift, is just praying. And so I texted her. It was 1:00 in the morning. I had to go to work the next day, and I said, I don't know when you're going to get this, but would you please pray for me? I'm tired, and I'm grieving. And I'm not kidding you, a second later, she called me or texted me, and she said, I was just sitting here wide awake asking God why I was awake at 1:00 in the morning. And I was like, you know, and then I start crying more. And then, here's a screenshot of our little phone call. It was at 1:01 a.m., and it was 35 minutes long. We had a conversation, you know, and it started out, I was just like, yelling at her, like, because I was crying and I was so upset. And she's funny. She's the punniest person I've ever met. And so she's like weaving in little jokes in here and there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so funny. And thank you. But she prayed for me. She prayed for me over the phone. And so during that, you know, the Lord was like, I see you. I see you. I know. I know that you're hurting. I know that this is so hard. And I know, guys, that sometimes God doesn't answer us in that tangible way. But for me in that moment, that was just a light bulb moment when God said, I see you. I see that you're hurting. And I know that this grief is unbearable. And so God